B-Pod Studios.
The invitation to this show means nothing.
Here are Toucher and Rich.
We go for the jugular.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Breaking news tonight at the Hollywood Bowl. You're looking at aerial pictures here of a man who rushed the stage while comedian Dave Chappelle was performing. He tackled Dave Chappelle on stage. Chappelle appearing in a comedy show there to a packed house. He has been there over the weekend. That is the suspect who's been loaded onto an ambulance. According to witnesses, he rushed onto stage while Chappelle was performing. And we have reports that the person was armed with a gun and a knife. We do not believe those gun, either one of those weapons was used. No information on whether Chappelle himself may have been injured, but one ambulance has been removed from the scene, and that was the suspect. And we will try to get as much information about this attack on Dave Chappelle, the comedian, at the Hollywood Bowl. And as soon as we get that information, we will continue to bring that to you.
Hey, we're Toucher and Rich. That's from early this morning, our time, out there in La La Land. And not to bury the lead, but Rich has tweeted out a video of, Lockhart did too, of the assailant on a stretcher, and they really did a job on him. And now I'm seeing him, his family wins. If they're not fans of his, the family wins because they're going to get money.
Well, I think people don't know quite what happened.
No, I know. I'm just trying to say, yeah. I don't want to bury the lead, but it's like a Murder, She Wrote, where you give him a little something and then you go back to the beginning. Telling you.
Watch him. Breaking Bad. It's like the opening 2 minutes of Breaking Bad.
Right,
like, what does this mean?
Exactly.
It'll all be revealed.
Exactly. Like, but it seems like everyone in this thing is going to get something.
Yeah. So if you didn't know, the Hollywood Bowl is a place that is an outdoor arena. It's massive. It holds 17,000 people. It's the size of the TD Garden. This was not a nightclub. This was a full-on comedy concert. And somehow this guy was able to mid-show get up on stage. It's being reported that he had, they said, a gun, a knife, I believe, as well. And if you see the video, he ran out full speed on stage and was able to just jam his shoulder right into the waist of Dave Chappelle, like taking him out. Now, the video cuts off there, but from what is being reported, after that, a bunch of security people, including Jamie Foxx, who I guess was also on the bill, brought him backstage. And now I will I'll read you a little bit of the report here from
the bravery
the Metro.
By Jamie Foxx following security out.
It says, another clip shows the man being detained by security guards at the venue. He was loaded into an ambulance and later taken to the hospital with a disclosed arm. Well, why did he have a disclosed arm? Well, here's why.
Well, his arm is going the wrong way.
He said, Chappelle continued the show and later told the audience, I don't know if that was part of the show or blank. I grabbed that N-word by the head. His hair was spongy, absorbent, and he then thanked Jamie Foxx, for rushing in to help him, saying, listen, I just want to say I'm having an incredible time. This guy's a genius. We've got to protect him at all times. This is what it's about. Then after that, he added, I've been doing
this.
Do
we have the clip?
Yeah. You know what? I'll play this. So this is a clip from someone in the crowd. This is after Chappelle comes back out, after all of these guys apparently went backstage and beat the crap out of him. Let's take a listen.
I grabbed the back of that head. His hair was spongy. Absorbent. Listen, I just want to say, man, I've had an incredible time. This man is an absolute genius. We got to make sure we protect him at all times, man. This is what it's about. For every comedian that comes out here, man, this means everything, man. You're a genius. You're a legend. I enjoyed myself thoroughly, and we're not going to let nothing happen. That's right. Give it up.
Jamie Foxx.
I've been doing this 35 years. I just stomped the backstage. Always wanted to do that. I seen Busta Rhymes, they always like, that's how you do it, dog. Hey, yo, where's Busta at? Busta, yo, what's up, Busta? Where's Busta at?
And then Jamie Foxx apparently starts bragging as well. I was back there blanking that N-word too.
A lot of adrenaline running through two men who have been coddled.
So it's
for the vast majority of their lives.
So it sounds like after they tackled this guy, everybody was on the bill, went back there and just started having their licks at him. And Fred's right. That video of this dude on a stretcher, his arm is bent in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
His wrists are apparently broken. His elbow completely dislocated. He got jacked up.
Yeah. And it's like we were saying, if you really, I don't know if you listen to the whole show, but it is the MF Doom song, Rap Snitches Knitches. Rap Snitches telling all the business, welcome to court, they'd be the own star witness. Do you see the perpetrator? Yeah, I'm right here. They gave up their own crimes.
So, yeah, I wonder if this is all going to end with this guy getting paid somehow.
Yes.
Because they're going to, he's going to say, you know what? Listen, obviously, I'll take my sentence for rushing the stage and attacking the guy. And if he had a gun, I don't know how like what that does, you know, to the punishment itself.
He didn't have it out.
But he could also go, but look at these lifelong injuries I'm going to have to be dealing with because of an excessive handling of my shenanigans.
Absolutely.
Pay me.
Yes. He'll say, I was tackled on stage and was detained. Once I was detained, then I received this like massive beating when I was detained. And he's going to sue the venue. Mm-hmm. And he's going to sue Jamie Foxx. And he's going to sue Dave Chappelle. And he's going to sue the city of Los Angeles. He's going to sue the state of California. And he's going to sue everybody under the sun. And this is something, your hubris and your adrenaline gets going. And I understand it. First of all, I don't think you're any hero, Jamie Foxx, for following a bunch of security guys out there. I mean, if Jamie Foxx would have thrown himself on the guy alone.
Right.
But you know how it is. Like, everyone's like all posse'd up, to use an old-ass term. And you, like, run behind him and, like, ah. And then you get on stage and you're like, you know, guys, he's a like, you got that adrenaline going. You're feeling so good. Right. Like, you know, guys, like, this guy's a genius. And who am I but to protect him? You know, I'm so strong. And you get out there and you just tell on yourself.
But, I mean, how bad does this make Will Smith look again?
It makes him look absolutely atrocious.
It's because now this is, and Fred, you nailed it. You know, every news report you're seeing on TV it's showing the Chris Rock scene.
Yep.
And it's given, I mean, it's given basically not even permission for people to do it, but they know that if they do this, they're going to be famous.
Yes.
And whatever their cause was or whatever their reasoning is going to be talked about. So congratulations, Will Smith. Look what you've done.
Well, it tells you, shows you, the right there shows you the difference between the haves and the have-nots. If you're a have-not and you tackle a comedian, which is less than what Will Smith did, by the way. Now, the threat is far greater. Now, don't get me wrong, but in terms of actual damage inflicted, the Will Smith hit is 1,000 times more. I'd much rather have someone attempt to tackle me at the Hollywood Bowl than on international television just come up and smack me. Now, Will Smith was able, if this shows, if this is America right here, Will Smith was able to get on TV, smack him across the face, sit down, then win an award and be able to accept it. This kid tackles Dave Chappelle on stage and ends up leaving on an ambulance with one arm turned the wrong way.
Right? It's like, what's the difference?
It should just be like called America. Should be like the haves and the have-nots.
So NBC News.
But my point being, they both should have had the hell beat out of him. Will Smith should have been tackled on that stage.
And his arm is located.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Well, the NBC.
I wouldn't have had a problem with it.
The news in L.A. is reporting that I guess when they took the dude into custody, a little more clarification now. As I said, all the details are just now coming out, that he was armed with a replica gun, quote, that can eject a knife blade when discharged correctly.
What a lame weapon.
So it was a
knife with a gun?
Is that? It's a gun. It's a knife that looks like a gun.
Yeah, what do you want a gun that looks like a knife?
I think the gun is for the threatening and the knife's for the good old-fashioned stab.
Yeah, if you're going to stab someone, you got to be so close to them.
How do you get into the venue with that?
It's probably plastic. It was probably plastic, and he probably had it, like, you probably didn't set off a detector.
Dude, I saw Chris Rock here in town, and I went through security. I went through, like, all this stuff. I had to block my phone up. I mean, there was all of that. And you're telling me, I just can't understand how this dude was able to get past security in a place that is, as I said, the equivalent of playing the TD Garden.
Well, you just said, well, I didn't know how he got in with a gun, but you just said it. He got in with a fake gun, which might have been plastic.
Forget the getting in, getting on stage.
No, yeah, I don't know.
Like, that's crazy.
I don't know. I don't know how you get on stage. Maybe they thought it was a turnstile show.
Oh, God. And now I'm seeing some of these articles like, well, you know, this is what happens when people are locked down in their homes. No, this has nothing to do with that.
Please. Right?
Yeah. It was like, others written about poor audience behavior since the lockdown. All right, stop. Let's stop making excuses for maniacs.
No, what gets maniacs off is the hint of being you know, talked about.
I saw that too. You know, I've seen it locally where people are talking, making excuses for violence because of the lockdowns. There's a, I don't know if you've heard about this. There's like a gang of kids.
Yes.
Kids that are running around downtown crossing. They're not only like smashing up stores, but they're beating up old people. Like there was.
But it's an 11-year-old girl, and my daughter's 11.
Yeah. Well, one of them is 11.
Okay. Yeah, it's an 11-year-old girl.
And they're like, well, you know, there's the effects of the lockdown, and they're. No. If you're beating the snot out of, like, you know, my mother-in-law or something like that, there's no excuse for that. And you can't function in society. I guess they can't arrest her because she's too young.
Yeah, there's some law that you can't arrest them until they're 12. And then the mother has said that she wasn't going to do anything. So basically, you just got to wait around until the girl's 12. But I do think it's funny that someone my daughter's age is going up and, like, accosting, like my daughter's 11. What could she do to you? Not much. But yeah, but I mean, it's kids. I mean, when it's kids, you got to try to figure out what's going on societally. That's why these kids are running around like that.
We just have to stop making excuses for maniacs. I mean, a guy comes up on stage and assaults a guy in front of a crowd of 17,000 people with, you know, a knife, and all of a sudden it's like, well, you know,
lockdown.
A gun knife. I don't know where you buy that.
A knife.
I don't know.
Trying to politicize something. Everyone's got to politicize something.
I guess.
And that's, you know, but the kids thing is different. I mean, the kids thing is, you would hope that there's hope for an 11-year-old. You know, some psycho adult that, you know, has a knife gun, which sounds a lot like nunchucks. Almost like a nerdier version of nunchucks.
Well, so apparently Chris Rock was on this bill. And I guess after that all happened, Chris Rock walked out on stage and said, was that Will Smith?
Yes. I'm sure Will Smith is right now hearing about this and is just absolutely delighted.
Right. Every time, right. That, every time he thinks it's gone away,
yeah,
it's going to come right back.
Well, now what do you think Chappelle's going to do? Is in Chappelle's act, he's going to go after Will Smith every single time. I mean, it's going to... Will Smith's career is over, as it should be. That is the most fascinating. The Will Smith slap is the most fascinating thing I've ever seen on television.
Here's Chris Rock, by the way, immediately afterwards.
Was that Will Smith?
Awesome. You know, it's, you got a pop right there.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a very loosey-goosey show at that point.
Well, yeah, there's a bunch of people, because their adrenaline's down. I wonder if Chris Rock got some licks in. Like, all the rage from what's been going on with him over the past couple of weeks.
I can't see Chris Rock doing any damage.
I also see Chris Rock liking his money.
Yeah, I know.
But there is nothing like that Jamie Foxx clip you played. That is just a pussy talking about, like, all adrenaline, like, thinking he's so tough. Okay, dude.
Oh, yeah. So he said, try having a parent pull out a gun at an AAU tournament I was reffing this weekend. Yeah, I read about that.
Oh, God.
Really?
I'll have this guy. I read about it. I'm going to tell this guy to call
Where
in.
Where was that?
I don't know.
Well, if it's an AAU tournament in town, it was at one of three places.
That's a good point. But the AAU tournament, was it in one of those three places?
It's Dana Barrows, or it's one of the other two places. One of the ones you got to pay to get into to watch your kid.
One near Foxborough. Westford?
Westford. I know what that is. That's Millworks.
So this guy was reffing it? Okay, because I had read this story.
I've been there.
I've been there.
It happened this weekend, I believe. I told that guy to call in.
Up at Millworks.
Yeah, it says a Massachusetts man is facing multiple charges after he pulled a gun on another parent during a tournament in Westford. They said he's arraigned by the court. Assault with a dangerous weapon, disturbing a public assembly, carrying a firearm without a license, jeez, possession of ammunition, and proper storage of a firearm, and operating a vehicle with a revoked license. Boy, he just went all in. They said he was, when police arrived at the scenes, witnesses told them that the man who had brandished the firearm had fled the scene, and they provided a description of the vehicle. They were able to find the vehicle. Police then found a gun in a diaper bag inside the vehicle. Wow, so kids around too. It's fantastic.
He was at an AAU game.
They said investigators with the Middlesex District Attorney's Office said this guy was attending a basketball tournament at the Millworks where his son was playing when he reportedly got into an altercation with a parent of a player on an opposing team. According to the DA's office, this guy brandished a handgun to the other parent, and at some point during the altercation, as a result, players participating in the tournament and spectators fled the facility. So it's one of those things where he takes out the gun. Everyone sees it and runs.
Oh, Jesus.
They said this was a frightening and potentially dangerous situation. There's no place in youth sports, blah, 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 blah.
That's when you need your gun knife.
That's when you need your good knife.
That's right.
Your gun that is not a gun, but a knife.
That's right. Just kidding. I can't shoot you, but
right.
Hold still while I stab you in the heart.
Exactly. So the gun from this distance could kill you.
Yeah.
Now, but you're very far from the knife.
Yeah.
I don't know what the knife gives you at that point. I mean, to stab a guy, you got to be, you know, the length of the blade.
So I just said, before being arrested, the defendant said, don't worry, it's not a real gun. It's just a knife. It looks like a gun.
Yeah.
We're cool, man.
You're completely safe as long as you're further than 6 feet away from
the gun. Like, if he fled the scene, does that mean he left his son there? Well, I guess so.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to figure that you can get a ride home with one of the other kid's parents. See, a knife gun, I pull my knife out and you go, oh, you're very far away. You can't do it anymore.
Right.
You go, ah, ha, ha. And I press the button and kablow, you're dead.
No, you see, that would be a knife that turns into a gun.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. That would be much more effective.
It would be awesome. It's like a transformer.
Yeah, it'd be much more effective than a knife. Again.
A K-gun.
Yeah, I got my gun on you.
Yeah.
And then you go, all right, well, don't shoot. And then you go, ah. You got to get very close to me to stab me. You've never had that dream where Sarge comes into the station
and stabs you while going,
aha. Sarge is a cycle killer now?
You've never had that dream where Sarge comes in and goes,
I can't say that I have.
That would make a great horror. Like,
is
a horror
that one
movie?
Of those 2 a.m. things where your eyes pop awake and you're like, oh my God. That's the call.
And then you look at the clock and you go like, oh my God, I only have like so much longer to sleep.
I only have another couple hours before I have to get up.
It's like you think you're alone, but then there's a figure behind the curtains in your home and you hear,
aha.
Where he just goes like, well, it's 7:45. No one can see.
Aha.
Now I'm getting pictures. They said, oh yeah, look at this. Oh, this is so dumb. If you're walking around with this, yeah, it looks like a revolver.
Yeah, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
It's an
old-timey handgun with like a knife instead of the barrel.
Yeah, that you know, it's like a pocket knife type thing.
All right.
And it says, we'll kick your ass on the blade.
Yeah, that seems like something you'd win at a fair. That doesn't seem like any kind of real weapon.
Oh, hang on. Christian, line one, is the referee. He was...
We are bopping all over the place.
I don't care. This is good.
First of all, if you're reffing AAU games, stop screaming at the parents running the clock. They're just trying to do their best.
Nobody's perfect.
I mean, I know you want to get out of there. You're reffing a lot of games, but please, Christian, enough. Christian, so you were there when the guy whipped out the gun at Millworks?
Yes, I was on court. I believe that happened on court 9. I was on court 8, and there was a conflict between him and it was a female coach, actually. I guess his son was kind of bullying another player or something like that. Coach yelled out, if he's going to be on you like that, give him a hard push. And after the hard push, after a foul, he didn't like that too much, I guess.
The parent.
The parent, yeah.
Yeah, and
the
so then he like so he started yelling at the female.
No, he rushed the court at another player, I heard.
Oh, the dad did.
Okay, he rushed the court.
Dead sober.
When does the gun show up?
While he was rushing the court. But the thing is, he was trying to cock it, and while he was trying to cock it, it jammed on him. So he looked kind of like a fool, and he just kept trying to jam it on him, and then that's when everyone saw it and ran in mass panic. It was quite the scene, honestly.
I don't like the idea that him... trying to cock the gun, that means he's going to use it.
So hang on. So who is he running towards while cocking the gun?
The kid.
A kid.
Oh, my.
He was running on the court towards a kid. A kid, I believe, pushed his son or maybe gave his son a hard foul.
Right. And then I can picture it. So he's running on the court, and he's trying to work the gun, and the gun jams on him, so he kind of has to stop and try to figure out what's going on with the gun.
How old are the kids?
I think his kid was probably in sixth, maybe seventh grade. It was the tournament didn't go past
12 years old.
Well, if they were 12, I mean, if they were 15, it would be a different story. But Christian, stop being so hard on the parents. They're just trying to run the clock, okay?
I promise you, it's the parents that they give so much harassment at these tournaments.
No, I know.
It takes a year off your life.
No, I understand. And you have to do a million games in a row. I understand. Believe me, I've been there. Unfortunately, my son's teams never win too much. So
you were out of there quick.
I'm in and out of there.
Mine too. Yeah, one game and we're done.
Yeah, I'm in and out of there.
Well, I'll be reffing there this weekend. If your son comes, I'll give him a lot of calls.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that. I'll be sure to find you, Christian. Thank you so much. Well, it's a good thing for that guy and everyone there that gun jammed. Or else that guy, I mean, if that's seems like
an open, that's an open floor plan, man. It's not a lot. I mean, a lot of people in danger. Jesus.
As you can imagine, Rich, it is just one big space.
It's a big warehouse. Yeah.
That's assault with a deadly weapon. And I think I was just sent a video of it.
Well, he's very fortunate that gun jammed, as is everyone that's there. Because if he was intending to use that gun, that is not good news.
Oh, my God. And it's exactly what you think. It's like chaos. I can't see the guy coming down with the gun, but I just see all of a sudden everybody running. And you're right. It's one of those basketball complexes where there's multiple courts, and everyone knows what's going on, and everyone just mad dashed to the door.
I mean, me and Johnny have been there before. Don't worry about it. We hold it down at Millworks.
More times than I care to admit.
It's going to get a lot less and less, because I think if you're playing it, because now, like Christian said, you've got to, if you're going to be playing basketball at that level, you got to be playing year round. And that's just not happening. That's not happening in the Toucher House, because today, you know who's coming over.
Who's coming over? Oh, it's baseball time.
They're
going to start building it today.
They're going to do a lay of the land, John.
Oh, is this just a survey part
of
it?
When you have a five-figure project going in, you don't just willy-nilly it.
I'm just saying, you put a tarp over that sumbitch, you're out there hitting every day for that amount of money.
Oh yeah,
there are no nets. You put the tarp over it, rain or shine, you're in there hitting.
The first contract, John, is when it gets paid off.
I understand.
The first year where school's paid for, and I just get the 529 money
portable mound out there. He's throwing. You're charting pitches.
I mean, lefty could be 6'4".
No, Milo, you need more depth. Need more depth on the curve.
Listen, I mean, you don't think Gambino is going to say, hey, 6'4".
Well, you do. You have the pipeline to the BC baseball program. He'd get first dibs.
I mean, and you know, Milo's a big fan of the Catholic education.
Sure.
So you got that going, too.
The Jesuits would welcome him with open arms, I'm sure.
He is nothing if not Catholic. You know, with a working knowledge of the Bible.
That's a good point.
So, they come in today to survey the land.
Brandeis. Maybe you talk to Brandeis about a scholarship. I don't know. They don't give those out.
Oh, they don't give out?
Division III school, so probably not.
All I know is everyone who goes, your kid can't play college baseball. Well, I'll tell you, I know a lot of guys who did. It doesn't seem that hard. I'm not talking about D1. I'm talking about but the kid wants to play college baseball and play college baseball. All right, we'll be back. He's no Shaughnessy's kid, but I mean, what are we going to do? We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I wish you guys were my professors in college.
Brad, who are we if we cannot judge people?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we're the Toucher and Rich radio program. Nick was out at the Celtics game. We'll have those recaps coming up at 8. Mike Gorman at 8:20. And one of your voices, the Boston Celtics, is here right now in Mr. John Wallach. Do you have the clip, by the way, of Cedric Maxwell, the divorce clip? If you could play that at your leisure. Because Cedric Maxwell went full on, I've had a bad life experience last night.
Yeah, he kind of split into a ditch a little bit. Right. That doesn't happen a lot with
him. So here is Cedric Maxwell last night, just letting you know, sometimes, even for the toughest of us, life can go in the wrong way.
This is what we talked about. If you're the Celtics, you have to send a dominant, clear, precise message here. Very much like the message that guy gave me when I went to my divorce trial. He said, Mr. Maxwell, I said, well, I don't think that's right. Hey, this is where you and I agree to disagree, and I have all the power.
The Celtics scored 7 points in the first 7 minutes of the quarter.
Yeah.
You just move on. You just
you let that go and you just keep going.
I mean, that's a man who's been hurt.
Yep.
He has he's cautioned many people against marriage on this very show. But the thing about last night was, I mean, in the first quarter, it's almost as simple as this to me, is that the Celtics couldn't miss and the Milwaukee couldn't score.
Rich had a point during the first hour of the show that I think is a very good one, is that the way the Celtics got their open shots last night was much different than the way they got their open shots in game
one. Right, they did try to penetrate and they did kick out, but I mean, there was aspects of Jaylen Brown's game where, you know, he was taking contested threes and everything was falling.
Yeah, but early on, he had the open shots and made them.
Yes.
And whereas he had pretty much the same shots in game one and missed most of them.
But I am telling you, Giannis is not going to shoot like that again like he did in the first half. And I understand, but I'm watching highlights of it right now, John, and he is downhill, open layups. I mean, contested in a way that there is a body around him, but certainly not a hand in his face. And, I mean, they're clanking off the backboard.
Giannis, I think, was 9 of 25 in game one and 11 of 27 last night.
Yes.
I mean, he's not 16 of 18.
No,
the Celtics' defense has been pretty good. He's going to score 25 a night, no matter what you do.
I know, but he is not going to play the way that he played in the first half again.
Yeah, no, I agree. And there's going to be one of the games in this series where he goes supernova and you can't stop him and he scores 50. I mean, it's going to happen. He's Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's one of the best three players walking the face of the planet.
My point is, though, if you're the coach of the Bucks, do you at like some point just in your own mind just resign yourself during that game last night? It is what it is. Like tonight's just happening, and it's happening,
sure.
And everything's going down. I mean, you know, when it's Pritchard's three pointer's good, you know, Williams three-pointer is good. Like, it's just like everything's going in.
I think there'll be,
and we can't make anything on the other end.
Yeah, I think if you're Mike Budenholzer, who is an excellent head coach, by the way, if you're Mike Budenholzer, you just put this one aside and go, okay, they made most of the shots they missed. You know, we showed some things, and in the third quarter, Milwaukee's defense was very, very good. I mean, the Celtics didn't score a lot. What won the game for them was their defense. Milwaukee scored 86 points last night.
Right.
I think when we get to Saturday, whenever that is, when we get to Saturday, you'll see a concerted effort to have Giannis go right at Grant Williams again.
Because I was interested in that.
He's going to be built up to this mythical character over the next 3 or 4 days. You remember, I forget what it was, Matthew Dellavedova. And I forget who
yes,
it was he played.
Cleveland.
Cleveland playing Golden State. Matthew Dellavedova, you know, had one good defensive game, and he was built up to be this massive thing in Golden State.
Like, future player of the year.
Okay. And they went right at him, and they exposed him for what he is. Grant Williams is a nice player. He's better than a lot of people expected him to
be. Certainly. He's better than I thought he'd be.
But Stan Van Gundy called him a defensive player of the year candidate last night. He's not that.
No, he's not.
He's not that, and I think Milwaukee is going to do everything they can to showcase the fact that he is certainly beatable Saturday.
I think you show Giannis film and you go, there was times where you had him isolated.
And
where
passed the ball.
Yes, and you said it earlier too, and I saw it too, is that you go, all right, here he goes.
Yeah.
You know, you've got, you know, 6 inches on him with your arms raised.
Yeah.
Like, attack the basket. Don't kick it out from there.
And the other part of it is Giannis.
Make him double team you if you're going to kick it out.
Giannis got everyone involved in game one. You have a lot of people.
The game went through him, yeah.
A lot of people on that roster are able to knock down threes. Of course, they miss Chris Middleton. They miss him dearly in this series. But Drew Holiday is a very good player, and those bench players are really good, too. Pat Connaughton hit 6 of 7 last night. I mean, they have guys that can score. But I think the focus will be to get Giannis going early and make sure that the Celtics don't run away like they did last night. I mean, it was 18-3 after 6 minutes.
Yes.
And the rest of it was just, okay, how do we catch up? And the Celtics just kept hitting shots.
It was
Grant Williams kept hitting shots. Jason Tatum, after the first quarter, kept hitting shots. I think Milwaukee's game plan is sound. Beat the crap out of Tatum. Hope that Jaylen Brown doesn't make a lot. And after that, you'll take what comes.
And that is my point about last night's game. I just think at a certain point, if you're coaching Milwaukee, this is why there's a 7-game series. And you just go, I can't see this happening again.
And in a way, last night was just the beginning. I mean, Granny yes. said it afterwards. All right, now it's a best of five. This is not going to be.
Got home court.
This is not going to be a five-game series. These two teams are going to beat the crap out of each other for six or seven games.
Yeah, I agree.
This is and that's what sucks really for me is this long wait until Saturday. I want another game tonight. I want another game tomorrow night. This is fun to watch.
Well, you get a game tonight.
These two teams are even.
You get a very uninspiring Bruins team.
Well,
this evening.
But I mean, if you want to switch gears,
no, I don't.
But, I, mean,
I don't. But that was my point at the beginning of the show. This continues to be my point. It's like good on the Celtics. I obviously didn't think they were going to lose two at home, and I mean, if you just are a fan of sports, I mean, last night they had it. Everything went their way last night for certainly the first half.
And I would think Ime Udoka. And everyone else, if you hook them up to a lie detector, will tell you we did nothing more than we had to last night.
Right.
They had to win last night.
Right.
That and when Marcus Smart, you know, it turned out at 5 o'clock they announced that Marcus Smart wasn't going to play. Everyone goes, uh-oh. And they won without him, great. But in order to beat this team, you need him playing and you need him healthy.
And you just, in terms of depth, you need him.
Yes.
I mean,
the bench is very, very short.
Well, I mean, in White, what's White going to do for you offensively?
Yeah, he did not play well last night.
He did not play well last night. He didn't play well in game one.
Yeah, defensively, he's very, very good, but he did not play well. Offensively, he has to find his game in order to beat this team. I mean,
I might go on the record saying White has not played well for the Celtics in the postseason, Johnny.
No. No, I agree with that.
So that,
I agree with that.
Just for that reason, you need Smart. I don't want to start. I went off the bench. I don't want White starting.
It's one game.
Tonight.
It's one game. By all accounts, it looks like Smart's going to be fine.
And it was the game
Saturday.
To be at. If you were a Celtics fan, that had to be a lot of fun. And you got to see Grayson Allen fall down on a non-move, which was so embarrassing for him. I'd almost rather get dunked on than fall down on a non-move.
By the way, I just want to compliment you. About an hour ago, you had a professor reference. I'm very impressed with that.
Oh, you don't think I'm on YouTube watching the professor go to jail?
Oh, no. It's not only that. I mean, I've watched a professor play one-on-one in, like, Uganda. I've watched all of his videos. He's a very rich man now.
He's a very Christian man.
But
well.
I will say this. Not a lot of people around now remember the N1 mixtape tour. So I got to give it to you. That's pretty good. Cadillac, Spider, the Professor. I mean, good for you.
Well, the Professor, a lot of people would go, who is this smallish white guy? Doesn't look like much. The next thing you know, the Professor's putting on his thesis on breaking legs.
It's down there on Laguna Beach playing one-on-one next to the ocean. I mean, it's good for him.
Yeah, I mean,
and good for you. I want to bring it back. Good for you for dropping that reference. I just want to make sure you got some love there because it just went by
it
a
went
lot
over
of people.
Rich's head.
It went by a lot of people. I don't think a lot of people fully understood that, but it's good to know that you have knowledge of this.
And that is my point. If you're Grayson Allen, you're going to fall down. I mean, make it like a professor-like situation where you're just mesmerized by the ball handling skills.
Right.
Don't give me some little shimmy.
Yeah.
And fall down.
And then Grayson Allen, as Grayson Allen does, tried to sell it. And that's the worst.
that he created too much wind.
Yeah, or that Jalen Brown pushed off,
yeah, that's
which
right.
is what
You're
he
right.
was trying to do.
Which is what he was trying
which
to
he,
do.
He kind of flew backwards and landed on his ass and looked at the ref, and the ref wasn't buying it, and then Jalen calmly knocked a jumper down.
I don't know if this is a new foul in the NBA, but it's one of my favorites, that if someone's backing you down and you have your arm on them, that if you take your arm away and they fall, that now is a foul on you because it is the ultimate in sportsmanship is that I have been holding you up. Let's be honest.
Tatum did that and got called for a foul.
I know,
but
which is the most ridiculous foul. Like, I'm not allowed to take my hand away.
Was it Connaughton? I forget who it was that was posting him.
It was Connaughton.
And Tatum just said, you're leaning on me. I'm getting out of the way.
And then
he fell down and they called Tatum for the foul.
And then the announcer's like, yeah, you can't do that. I'm like, what?
I know.
Like, I can't take my hand off the guy. Like, no. I mean, in honesty, you were supporting him. You were holding him up. It's not fair to take your arm away. He's going to fall. And then you see, Giannis just beating the hell out of Tatum. And you're like, "What? Pick a lane. What kind of game are we playing here?" All right. So if you were at the game last night, awesome. And it should be a hell of a series. But, I mean, let's be honest. Everything went the Celtics' way last night, and I just
like everything didn't go their way in game one.
Oh, you're not going to get blown out like that
so
again.
So call it even.
I absolutely do. I did not expect Milwaukee to come out of here leading the series 2-0. And I have every confidence that the Celtics can win this series. But I don't look at it last night and go, like, well, that's going to happen again, because I just don't think it will.
No, I would agree.
I just don't think it will. Because Milwaukee certainly was being aggressive. Just nothing was falling. And at a certain point, I just picture being Connaughton, and at a certain point, I just picture being Bullhauser, whatever. And
Budenholzer.
Budenholzer, and thinking, you know what, screw this. This in my mind, I got to put this all behind me. Like, or somewhere in the second quarter.
Milwaukee found something in the third quarter defensively.
Yes.
They shut the Celtics down in the third quarter defensively.
But it was too late.
No, I understand, but I guess you carry that over to the next game. Okay,
yes.
Here's what we didn't do right in the first half. Here's how we were able to limit them in their hot shooting in the second half. And so let's try that in game three. And now it's up to Ime Udoka to go, okay, these are the – and in a way, it's a perfect game for a head coach. We won, but we still did a lot of stuff wrong that we have to correct.
Yes. They made adjustments that we need to adjust to. All right. So we'll be back in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, be listening at 7:55 this morning for your chance to score a one-night stay package for Encore Boston Harbor in honor of Encore winning 2 Forbes Travel Guide 5-Star Awards. Encore is proud to be part of Title Town. Encore Boston Harbor, a Forbes Travel Guide 5-Star Award winner for both hotel and spa, and proud to have the highest-rated steakhouse in Boston. I should have taken your guys' advice, because I have not gone to the doctor for being sick, but my wife was on me, and yesterday, so I did a telehealth.
Yep.
As soon as I found you don't have to leave the house, I got home from work, and then went to turn on the old laptop, and the laptop just went, nah, no, not working. So here, we got 1,200 laying around, let's go get another laptop, let's give that a ride around town. The laptop just wouldn't turn on, just out of the blue. Much like the mixtape and one skipped Malou.
Good call.
Thank you. It would take a professor to turn that thing on. But it wouldn't turn on. So the telehealth, so you go and they talk to you and they go, well, come in and get a flu test, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world to me.
Yeah, they're scraping the back of your throat for that. Like
that's fine, but
they jam the big long one up your nose, right? That's or is it the back of the throat? That's strep.
Strep is the back of the throat.
The nose is the flu.
That's yeah, I don't. It's not the act of getting it. It's the act of going in there just to tell me I have the flu. Now they do text you a golden ticket that gets you into the to the front of the line.
It's like a really cheesy gif of a golden ticket.
It says golden ticket on it. It is a ticket that is golden that says golden ticket to reinforce that.
Just knock all those old farts out of the way when you get there.
But my point is like, why wouldn't you just prescribe me the dumb medicine? And if I don't have it, then I don't have it. And if I have it, then it makes me feel better. What the hell's the difference to you?
Doesn't the office visit get charged?
Of course.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's been so long since I went to the doctor for being sick.
They miss you.
Right. This was one of them walk-ins. When did they devise a test to tell you have the flu?
Well, I think they listened to your chest.
No. It's a test.
Yeah, I guess the nose sure.
Much like a COVID test, but this is to tell you have influenza.
Yeah, I mean, I've had ones in the nose for that.
Yeah, no, I don't care if they take it rectally. My point is that since when has this been going on? Did they test you for the flu now?
Oh, all the time.
I don't recall that. I don't recall that at all.
All the time. Like my kids, really? When they get sick, all the time.
Yeah, okay. But I don't go to the pediatrician with my kids. I got a penis. So, daddy stays home and brings home the bacon.
I see.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't going in there.
Yeah. No,
so I haven't been to the pediatrician, but in terms of, I know they test you for strep, but like, why don't they just give you a bunch of give you a Z-Pack and just go, hey, well, obviously you don't feel well. Take this Z-Pack and then be on your way. What's the worst case scenario is that you didn't need it?
Or get the stuff that you microwave in the cup. Like, is it Tamiflu? Is that what you're saying, Dan? Yeah, like Tamiflu. That's Yeah.
Well, the idea would be, well, they gave me a cough suppressant, but the idea would be.
Which you could have bought over the counter as well.
Well, I mean, this is a prescription one, so it's.
Super duper.
Oh, yeah.
High octane. Mega Mucinex.
Oh, yeah. It's just codeine, straight codeine. It's awesome. I feel like Lil Wayne. Yeah, I took one and I was like, oh, this sucks.
It's like your purple drink.
Yeah, exactly.
They gave it to you in a chalice.
Perfect.
All I want is like a cool doctor that does that. You got a cough? Oh, here's some Sirizup.
Here you go. You're all set.
You don't even have to ask for it, Fred.
Yeah. I do find it interesting.
The disappointment when you take the cough suppressant and nothing happens. You're like, eh.
I do find it interesting that you've never had or seen a flu test before.
No,
just
I
for
have
some
not.
Reason, it's like it seems like almost any time my kids have a cough, they want to give them, you know, they check their throat for strep and then they want to do a flu test.
But I've literally not been to the pediatrician with my kids since they were babies. So I don't know about that. But as an adult, I didn't know they have a flu. They used to just prescribe you the medicine. Now it's a waste of time. And I would hate to be in here getting everyone sick.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Zoloft puts a lot of pressure on me to come in. So, you know, what am I going to do?
You feel you're being bullied at work? Is that what it is, Fred?
A little bit.
Yeah, I know.
Because every time I broadcast from home or every time I call in sick, which, to be honest with you, calling in sick, I mean, I haven't called in sick other than rehab 5 times in a year, you know, a long time. But every time I do, Zoloft is there mm-hmm. for like a month after mm-hmm. to analyze why I was out.
Oh, it starts the second he realized. The second he's in the car on his way into work, Rich will get a text. I'll get a text. You know,
yeah. The conversation
come in. The door bursts open. Where's Fred?
Yep.
Yeah.
The conversations with the snide conversations with Dan.
You know what?
I get everything that goes on when I'm gone.
Here's what you should do, Fred. Is that you should. You know what? We'll get somebody. You've got to know somebody who's good at like carpentry. We should make like a little mountain that's got all of the vacation and sick days on it. And every time Zoloft takes a day off, just have him further and further.
Isn't it magic that he manages to be sick on Fridays sometimes during the summer?
Well, if he's sick on Friday, then it's worth 2 notches on the old mountain climber.
And by the way, he had COVID. So by basis of him just having COVID, he's broadcast from home way more than I am.
Wasn't there a water heater incident?
Yes.
During the middle of the week?
Yes.
I remember that.
But, you know, and he calls into question like a tire. Like, man, I'm not driving in here on a blown tire. I'm not driving through Dorchester on a blown tire.
Okay, that's what we do, Fred. If we could have somebody, can we do that?
Is that would be very funny.
Is there a listener, somebody creative enough that can make us a little like Price is Right mountain climber guy and just with notches on it? And every time he takes a day off, we just move it up.
A day off, a sick day.
A day off, or just missing.
Or broadcasting from home.
Oh, broadcaster, we're not going to count. Come on.
Well, he counts it. He counts it like crazy.
All right. Well, I guess if he does count it against you, then sure.
Of course he counts it against me. Because the whole conversation yesterday off air is like how good my mic was, and it pissed him off because Louth didn't know I was broadcasting from home.
I don't understand why people are pissed about that. It's like if the show sounds good, who cares who comes in or not?
Well, he does. He hates his commute, and he knows
then
I don't
move.
Like, and he goes, and he knows that I don't. Like, you know, who likes, you know, coming in?
He's not moving. You've seen that property. He's not moving from where he is. Yeah. You see how close he is to Gillette Stadium?
He's not a chance.
Right.
He's the king of Connecticut.
Exactly.
Basically, like 8 million miles away.
Well, he's in Rhode Island. At work on some days, and he goes to Gillette.
I mean, him and Louth are in Rhode Island. But yeah, he built that complex when he was, you know, on Rhode Island radio.
The mountain climbers should travel along the wall. I can't. It's really around the top.
Whoever wants to build it, you can put your company's name on it. But yeah,
sure.
Bring it in.
And we'll put it right here in the back. It will always, you know, it will always have it on display, ready to go.
Because
Scott Zoloft missed work mountain climbing.
Yeah, he does not like when I broadcast from home. He does not like that. It's very funny.
It's like, who cares?
He does. Because he doesn't want to come in.
Well, then, you know what? Then fine. Then do your own thing. If you don't care, then we won't care.
I don't track his days.
Well, we're going to now.
Well, now it's
for the
funny, but I don't. But by basis of him having COVID, he got COVID like 3 times.
A listener just checked and Chris just tweeted me and said the water heater incident coincidentally was on a Friday.
Of course.
Yep. The water was hot down in the Cape.
Exactly. Caller number 5 right now to the price. And then he's on Facebook like, duh. I'm on my in-law's boat.
Right now, my boat went to the Cape.
Well, not his boat. Right now, the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a one-night stay package for Encore Boston Harbor in honor of Encore winning two Forbes Travel Guide 5-star awards. Encore is proud to be part of Titletown. Encore Boston Harbor, a Forbes Travel Guide 5-star award winner for both hotel and spa, and proud to have the highest rated steakhouse in Boston. We come back. Nick Jamelli was out at the game. Your recaps.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.